Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon text comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 3 through 11. Therefore, I am informing you that no one speaking by God's Spirit says a curse be upon Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are various kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of ministries, and yet the same Lord. There are various kinds of activity, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. Each person is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one person, a message of wisdom is given by the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge, as the same Spirit provides it. By the same Spirit, faith is given to someone else. And to another, the same Spirit gives healing gifts. Another is given powers to do miracles. Another, the gift of prophecy. Another, the evaluating of spirits. Someone else, different kinds of tongues. And another, the interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them to each one individually as he desires. This is our text. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, superhero movies have really come around in the last 10 or 15 years. I remember way back in 2008, when I was a kid, my dad took me to the theaters to see the first Iron Man movie. And as we all know, in that time span between then and now, there have been a lot of superhero movies that have come out. And I think I've seen 75-80% of them, the good ones and the bad ones. And in all the ones I've seen, I think the most powerful line of dialogue comes from the Spider-Man movie, where Peter Parker, the kid who is Spider-Man, is told by his uncle, "With great power comes great responsibility." In our text this morning, St. Paul gives the Corinthians and us a similar warning. He informs them that each one of them is blessed with different gifts from the Spirit. But he also warns them not to abuse those gifts, but rather use them. Paul makes it very clear to the Corinthians that each one of us is given gifts from the Spirit. And Paul starts with what would be the most obvious gift in his mind, but you and I might skip over it if we weren't looking for it. Paul begins in verse 3 by saying, "No one speaking by God's Spirit says, 'A curse be upon Jesus,' and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." That's easy to miss, but the point is clear and amazing when we stop and think about it. We all here confess that Jesus is Lord. We have that faith. And that faith is not possible without the Holy Spirit to create that faith in our hearts. So right off the bat, you and I have a leg up on the world, because the world does not confess that Jesus is Lord. In fact, the world is very vocal about saying just the opposite. We hear the people of the world say things like, "God is dead," and we need to get people off of the crutch that is religion. Religion is only for the weak-minded. And yet, every week, we gather together to praise our Lord and Savior, despite what the world says. That's by far the greatest gift given to us by the Holy Spirit. The very faith in our hearts is a gift from God. But Paul goes on from that obvious gift, and he then transitions into the realm of earthly gifts. He lists off quite a few, but this is by no means a comprehensive list. There's plenty of more gifts we could spend time talking about, should we want to. And Paul uses different lists in different places when he's talking about gifts. But he also adds, at the end of our text, "One and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them to each one individually as he desires." This is important, because the Spirit isn't walking around with a bag of wrapped gifts, handing them out randomly to people as he comes across them. He's not Santa Claus in a shopping mall. No, the Spirit gives out his gifts individually to you and I. The Spirit looks at us with all of God's knowledge and he goes, this gift will be perfect just for you. The gift is individually tailored to each one of us. And after all, that's what a gift is, isn't it? One of the Bible commentators that I read, he defined a gift as something given because the giver loves the recipient. There's nothing the recipient did to deserve the gift. They received it simply because the giver loves them. And so with us, we don't deserve these gifts that the Spirit gives to us, but we receive them simply because of God's undeserved, undying love for us. Now, these gifts that we are given by the Spirit, they can be used or they can be abused. This is Paul's warning to us. Because Paul tells us exactly how we should be using these gifts that the Spirit has given to us. Paul says, each person is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We are to use our gifts for the common good. We aren't to use them in a way to serve ourselves, and we especially aren't supposed to use them in a way that leads to sin. Now, what does that look like? Well, a very obvious example would be a false teacher. Someone who was blessed by the Spirit with the gift of being able to speak in front of people. It doesn't bother him to stand in front of a crowd and talk in public. He can easily win people over with just his words. But instead of using that gift, he abuses it. And he uses it to teach false doctrine. He uses it to lead God's people astray. That's an abuse of God's precious gifts that he gives to us through the Spirit. This is a real danger. This is where we have to be careful. Because some abuses are way more evident and way easier to pick out than others. A person who is very good with numbers can very easily shuffle things around to hide the fact that he's stealing. Look, for example, at Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. He was in charge of handling the money for Jesus and the disciples. And he was dipping his fingers into that money purse for his own selfish gain. Our gifts should not be used for our own good, but rather for the common good. In other words, don't abuse your gifts, but use them. Use them in thanksgiving to God. Think about all the things that God has done for us. He created the universe out of nothing. He simply spoke, and it was. But with mankind, who was created in God's image, God took his time, forming Adam out of the dust of the earth, forming Eve out of Adam's rib. He gave us life. And when mankind fell into sin, throwing away the gift of perfection that God had given us, God gave us a new gift. He gave us a Savior. A Savior who was willing to come down to earth and bear our sins for us. Willing to suffer and die in the worst way imaginable, so that you and I would not have to endure torture, misery, and eternal separation of God in the fires of hell. A Savior who rose from the dead on that first Easter Sunday, demonstrating his victory over sin, death, and the devil, and gifting us victory through his victory. And as if all of that wasn't enough, in our new life of faith, the Holy Spirit piles gifts on top of those, giving us gifts that we can use here on earth. And in Christian joy and thanksgiving for everything that God has done for us, we want to use these gifts to praise and thank God for all of these things. We use our gifts for the good of the church as well. In addition to creating us and providing us with these gifts, we are blessed with a physical church body here on this earth. The Spirit has blessed us with a group of people who we share a common faith with. Brothers and sisters who gather together every week to praise our God. Of course we want to use our gifts to help this body of believers. Beautifying worship, helping with the administrative side of a church, or simply being there for a brother or sister in their time of need. It doesn't matter. All of our gifts can be used to benefit the church and our fellow believers. We all have different gifts, and they can all be used. And no one gift is better than the other. Is an eye more beneficial than an ear? Absolutely not. They play different roles, but the body needs both of them. And so it is with the body of believers. Everyone does their part. Everyone has different gifts, and they all contribute equally to the body. And finally, we use our gifts for the spread of the gospel. Now, this might be the more obvious one. It might be the first one that you thought of when we're talking about using our gifts, especially this week. Because this week, the seminary in Milwaukee had its call and assignment services, sending out 29 vicars and 38 new pastors into the harvest field. These men are using their gifts that the Spirit has given them to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth, as Jesus commanded in Matthew 28, when he said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Now, you might be tempted to think that your gifts don't compare with the gifts of these men, that you can't do what they're doing. But I'll tell you right now that each and every one of these men, they grew up in a church just like this one. They received support, encouragement, and fellowship with their fellow believers in those churches from a very young age. They heard the word of God in our pews. They learned in our schools. They relied on their brothers and sisters in faith. They relied on you to encourage them to use their gifts. And those are our gifts. Something given to us simply because the giver loves us. What a blessed people we have. What a blessed people we are, excuse me, who have a God so loving, so gracious, so compassionate that he enables us to do what we do. With Jesus' victory comes our victory. And the spoils of that victory are evident in our future, where we will spend eternity in paradise at Jesus' side. And while we are here on this earth, we have more gifts that can be used and not abused. And in thankfulness for all that was done for us, we happily use our gifts to serve our Savior. Amen. And now may this peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds focused on Christ alone. Amen.